theology. Makes it extremely difficult because if you go with today's present dispensational theology, you will not be able to understand this parable. A second reason that it's very difficult to understand is because of the chapter divisions. Now, Jesus didn't stop at the end of chapter 19 and say, whoa, chapter 20. Okay. What happened here is that the translators inserted this to help you and I find passages quicker and easier. This was inserted by man, not by the Spirit. Had the Spirit inserted a chapter number, he would not have put it right here because this absolutely divides the context of what the Lord is trying to say. And it totally throws you off. Most of us read the Bible, we'll read so many chapters a day or so many chapters through a time. This is kind of how we read, and we'll stop at it. Well, if you do this with this one, you'll pick it back up, and you won't see the context and the flow of what the Lord was really doing here. So the first thing I've got to do for us is to set the context. And the context of this particular parable begins back in chapter 19. A young rich man had come to the Lord and had said, Lord, tell me some things about the kingdom. And the Lord ministered to this rich man and told him, he said, what you need to do is sell all and follow me. And he went away sorrowful. And the Bible says because he had a lot of money. Jesus then says this. It is easier for a camel to go through an eye of a needle than it is for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. The disciples overhearing this said, wow, Lord, then who can be saved? Now, you have to understand the times and customs of Bible. You see, in our society, you have public school systems. In their society, they did not. And only the rich could be educated. Only the rich could read. Only the rich could send their kids to school. Only the rich were able to buy scriptures and read those scriptures. And so to be rich then meant that you were able to go to theological school. To be rich then meant that you could send your kids and they could understand the things of God because they could read those things in the scriptures. They could purchase the scriptures. They could purchase their Bibles, as it were, the scriptures, and have them in their homes and study those things. But the poor could not. So, in the disciples' minds, it was, wow, then who can be saved if the rich, with their abilities to learn about the things of God, can't be saved, then who can be saved? Peter overhearing this, and here's where we'll start looking at a few more scriptures. Peter overhearing this says, Lord, well, let me first tell you what the Lord responded to that question, who can be saved? He says, well, with man it is impossible, but with God all things are possible. In other words, your money is not going to save you. See, it's relational, not religion. It's not how much you know. It's who you know. You with me? And then Peter overhearing all of this, then Peter asks a question. He answers with a question. And Peter answering said, it says that a lot about Peter. But Peter answered and said to Jesus, behold, we have forsaken all and follow thee, what shall we have therefore? That's a good question, isn't it? And he says, man, if a rich guy can't get in, you know, but we've forsaken everything, what are we going to get? What will we have? And then Jesus responded and said unto them, verily I say unto you, that ye which have followed me in the regeneration, say regeneration, in the regeneration, when the Son of Man shall sit in the throne of his glory, ye also shall sit upon 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. What he's saying is that you guys are going to receive, because you have followed me in the regeneration of the kingdom of God. In the regeneration. That was interesting to me. I'm just going to take just a second here. It's not the teaching, but it is a tremendous thought that we need to understand, because in present dispensational theology, there is going to be a day when Jesus will come and regenerate the kingdom. What Jesus came to do was regenerate the kingdom. He came to start it up again. There had been 500 years of of silence from Malachi to Matthew. There was 500 years there where God didn't talk to them. There was no aspects of the kingdom of God going on, just religion. But all of a sudden now here's Jesus, and he's there regenerating or kickstarting or beginning again the things of God, the kingdom of God. And he says, you guys who have been with me in the going again, the beginning again of the kingdom of God, you're going to get a lot. You're going to get your own thrones. And you're going to be judges over all the house of Israel. That's interesting, isn't it? See, we're not waiting for a kingdom to start. We're in a kingdom that was started 2,000 years ago. In the regeneration. But he says, but that's not all. He says, we're not going to stop there. That's what you're going to get in your glory. But what's happening right now, you need to understand. He says, I'm going to give you everything that you've given for the kingdom's sake and for my name's sake 100-fold. Look at this. And everyone that hath forsaken houses and brethren, our sisters, our father, our mother, our wife, our children, our lands, for my name's sake shall receive 100-fold and shall inherit everlasting life. Two parts to that thing. Right now, you don't need houses and lands and mothers and fathers and sisters when you're dead. You need those now. What you need when you're dead is everlasting life. And so there's a two-part here. And as the end of the conclusion of our time today, I'm going to show you how Mark brings this. So there's a two-part thing. Listen, you haven't given me anything. I'm not going to reward you more back than you ever thought possible. Whatever you've given up for my name's sake, I'm going to give back to you more than you can absolutely ever think about. I don't care if you've forsaken family to follow me. I'm going to reward you with more family. If you had to give up your house, I'm going to give you a better house. It's not 100 houses, it's a better house. I did that. I got a bigger, better family than I've ever had. Now, you do it for His name's sake. Is that what it says? Not for tax breaks. Not for internal revenue purposes. But for His name's sake. I've had people to do that. They gave something away so they would get a tax break. A tax write. No. You're missing it. God can't reward you back 100-fold. But when you do it for His name's sake and for the gospel's sake, He promises you 100-fold. Hallelujah. And then when you die, everlasting life. Is that good? I like that. And then he says this, and here is the part that the parable is attempting to explain. But many that are first shall be last, and the last be first. Now, and that doesn't even seem to make sense. He's talking here to Peter, and he's saying, Peter, you haven't given me anything that you're not going to get a bunch back for. And when you die, you're going to have your own throne. Because you've been with me in the regeneration of the kingdom. And the first will be last, and the last will be first. Does that make sense to you? Does that fit in to what Jesus is saying here? It didn't to me. And then, first verse, next chapter. 4. It's not there. Don't. 4. He says, for the kingdom of heaven is likened to. See, there's no chapter break. There's no break in the context. It is a total flow here. Jesus is saying, for he that is first will be last, and the last shall be first, for the kingdom of heaven is like unto. So, next frame. Fill in your blank. The context of the parable is the Lord explaining to Peter the rewards of laboring and how the first shall be last and the last shall be first. Now this is a very difficult passage to understand. Why are some first and some last? And then even at the end of the parable, as we read, he says, for many are called and few are chosen. Why would he call and not choose them? And it's in this parable that Jesus explains this. So the context is Him talking to Peter about rewards. And then He tells a parable. And the parable goes like this. There was a landholder. There was a householder. And he had a vineyard, and he needed some help in his vineyard. And so he went out into the marketplace at daylight, early in the morning, and he hired people to work in his kingdom, work in his vineyard. And he agreed with them on a pay, just to kind of point you in the direction that I'm going, and that we'll see he's really talking about here. He said, you'll be the head, not the tail. You'll be the top and not the bottom. I'll give you houses you didn't build and vineyards you didn't plant. And I'll bless you coming in and going out. I'm going to make you a great people. He agreed with them covenantally on a salary, on a wage. And they went to work. And then he went out again at the third hour, about 9 o'clock. He went out about 9 o'clock and he found some more people. And he told them, he says, whatever's right, I'll reward you with. And they went their way. And he went out again about the sixth hour, which was noon. And then again about the ninth hour, which would be about 3 p.m. And he did the same and he sent them and he says, whatever's right, I'll do and I'll reward you. And then he went out again at the 11th hour. 5 o'clock p.m., just about sundown. And he did the same. He got some more people in the marketplace and brought them in and said, whatever's right, I'll do. Well, they went to work, worked 1 hour, quitting time came. He called his steward. He says, let's pay them all up. And they began with what? The last, and then paid the first. And as the last came, they got their day salary. And everybody that came got their day salary. And the last ones came along, and what they found out was they thought they were going to get more. That's what it said. The first thought they were going to get more. Did I not say the first? The first thought they were going to get more. That's what they thought. But when they got there, they got their day salary, just like the same amount that everyone else had got. And what did they do? They murmured. Now, just to stop here just a second, who do we know murmured in the Scripture? The Israelites. Very good. They murmured. And they said, but listen, it's not right because these other guys, they just got in 1 hour. They've only worked 1 hour. And here we are. We've labored all day. We've carried the heat of this thing. And here we are. And we're getting the same thing they're getting. And the master, the good man, said, I've not done anything wrong to you. Can I do what I want to with mine? He says, but you have made them equal. You have made them equal with us. They come in last, but you make them equal with us. See, the first will be equal with the last, and the last will be equal with the first. You've made them equal with us. And he said, listen to me. I am going to pay them the same thing I pay you. I am no respecter of persons. Now, that's the parable. Then Jesus comes to the conclusion of the parable. He says, and the first shall be last, and the last shall be first. Many are called, and few are chosen. Now, to understand the parable, and to get it into its proper form of what Jesus is speaking here, we've got to go back into context, and we find that the house of Israel is involved in this thing. He's just told the 12, he says, you're going to rule over the 12 tribes of Israel. Three keys that you've got to have to interpret this. First, let's fill in a blank. The parable is a representation of the kingdom of God. He says the kingdom of God is like unto a man. This is a representation of how the kingdom of God functions. Not how it's going to function one day. The kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven is like unto. It is a representation of the reward system in the kingdom. It is a representation of how God will deal with those who work in His vineyard, in His kingdom.